Welcome to the Panic Button Podcast, brought to you by XXXChurch.com. Each episode, Craig Gross answers a question or two that has got you in a panic. No topics are off limits, and all questions are encouraged. Here is your host, Craig Gross.
Hey, it's Craig Gross, and this month's whiteboard video, you're going to hear from David and Seth Taylor. Now, if you've been following XXX Church for a while, you'll recognize these two. They're twins, and they were the creators of a book called Feels Like Redemption, which then we turned into a whole series called My Pilgrimage a few years ago. This was kind of an eye-opening thing. It took guys way deeper than I think most guys are used to going. It didn't focus a lot just on your porn use. It focused a lot on what was behind that porn use, what was driving that porn use. For these guys, man, it was the loss of their father. Trauma led to a number of things, including use of porn. Probably the biggest breakthrough that we've ever seen with guys has come from the My Pilgrimage series. So just getting to know these guys over the last few years, and we were kicking around just dreaming about what's next. We've taken a lot of guys through this program. We've done two retreats to Alaska. We've done, we just sat with a lot of guys through this material. And in that season as well, David moved from Alaska to Maui, which actually makes sense for us to do another video series. And not just to shoot it at some cool volcano in Maui, but the reason was to kind of take some of the progress and some of the changes even that we've seen in guys' lives and just share some more thoughts, share some things to expand on what we started several years ago. So in this week's whiteboard, I don't think they've got a whiteboard. I don't know where they're even shooting this, but except for it's in Hawaii. I know we did shoot some videos next to a volcano in Hawaii that you're gonna see later. So we have a lot of stuff coming in the months to come, but this whiteboard's just there for you, and it's these two guys talking about this myth that once I'm an addict, I'm always an addict. And I think you'll hear from these guys that is just a lie. So I hope you enjoy David and Seth Taylor and what we're working on here for My Pilgrimage 2.0. So stay tuned for that, but watch this right now with these guys.
My name's Seth Taylor, and I am the author of Feels Like Redemption, co-author, Feels Like Redemption, and the My Pilgrimage series. This thing got started about 7 years ago when I'd kind of grown fed up with my own journey with porn addiction. And I was mostly fed up with spiritual leaders, teachers, books telling me that I was always going to be an addict, no matter what. That it was a part of my suffering that I would just have to endure for the sake of the cross, in a way. And I got to the point where my understanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus was saying and how he was approaching any, you know, any human issue was something that was radically different than what I was hearing. So I started on a quest to ask what true spiritual power was, if there was any actual power, and if that had any actual ability to change anything. So I started down that path, and my brother was on the same path, and he gave me a call one day and talked to me about this kind of new spiritual practice that he'd been learning, which was actually not new at all. It was an ancient form of deep embodied meditation and spirituality that was through a Christian lens. So he brought this kind of paradigm to me, and it was helping him heal. And for me, it was a radical, very fast transformation. But then I started to ask the question of, you know, what was possible. And I started going after everything, not just the porn addiction was the first thing to go. But I started to realize that the spirit actually is real, and it has the power to heal and has the power to transform. And it was a kind of a journey that started that blew up everything I thought I knew and understood, and replaced it with a true joy and love. So
we're all taught, we're all raised in a certain type of church, and we're taught a certain type of way of understanding God and our spirit and how it works. And I got to a point myself where I just wanted something that was real and measurable, something that you can experience. There's a saying out there that if something is real, you don't have to believe in it, you get to experience it. And I was looking for an experience of God, and we found that, and it's been an intense healing journey. So, freedom is an individual experience, right? Just like everything else. We filter everything that we have here, everything that goes on in the world, we filter through the only thing we have. And what we have is our body and our spirit. We have our own biology, we have our spirit, and everybody has that experience. So freedom becomes a thing that has to be, by definition, relative to you. If you are not experiencing it, you know it. You can talk about it and you can say it, and you can use all the buzzwords, and you can go to church and you can sing the songs and say, I have freedom, I have freedom. But if you don't feel it and you're not experiencing it, then it's not happening, it's not real. So for me, freedom is an experience every day. I wake up and I say, do I feel this now? You know, I'd asked a friend, we're talking about the concept of being saved, and he said, are you saved? And I said, yeah, I'm saved. And then he goes, you're not saved. He says, look at you, you're a porn addict. And I started realizing, yeah, what am I saved from? And we have the idea that we're saved from, you know, eternal damnation and hell. And he said, but I'm kind of living my own hell right now, you know, in this addiction that I'm keeping secret, and it's kind of tearing me apart inside. And I started realizing that I am living in hell right now. And so freedom has become an everyday experience. When I wake up and I feel the only thing I have, my body and my spirit, and I say, am I free? Am I saved right now? And if I feel like I'm not, if there's something inside that's bugging me, then I can go to that, and the Holy Spirit can help heal that right there on the spot. Get up out of bed and have a good day.
You know, when someone tells a story about freedom and they say, I am free, the world, this story has implications for everybody. You know, the world says, you know, that can't happen for a reason. So if I was to tell somebody, hey, this is what happened to me and I'm now free of porn addiction, that story has an implication for their story and the whole world. And there are millions and millions and millions of stories of people saying, I found freedom inside the Christian tradition and outside of it. And we can either open ourselves and accept those stories and accept the implications they have for us, which means that we might have to release something. We might have to realize that everything we thought we knew perhaps is wrong. And we have to let it, you know, what the philosophers call it, deconstruct us. Or we can put up walls, which is a lot of how the religious world functions. So when someone says, this isn't possible, I don't buy it, you know, my only question is, what inside of you feels the need to deny that? You know, it's like when, you know, when St. Thomas, you know, comes running to the disciples and he says, I've seen the Lord. And they say, no, I don't believe it. Or, you know, no, as Peter says that to Thomas, right? And Thomas says, I don't believe it. You know, I don't believe that, you know, that it's possible. And you could see Peter, you know, would probably stand there and go, well, I'm not lying to you. I'm not a liar. But Thomas's pain and his hurt and everything inside of him requires him to either open up to this possibility, which is going to break something down inside of him, or it's going to actually, he's going to have to embrace it and follow down that path of the implications it has for it. So it's a, you know, it's a fascinating thing when someone, and I've had it, plenty of people say, I don't buy it, you can't be free. And I go, okay, you know, and that's something where it's too painful to accept the idea that you could be free. It's easier to hold on to control. And a lot of what we approach, and the way the church approaches it, a lot of the religious approaches are actual, just deep religious controls rather than actual freedom. And something I, even as a teacher that's trying to help people find freedom, I have to accept that that's a choice that people make. So I don't judge people for denying anything. I just look at it and say, well, that's a lot of suffering, you know, that they're accepting in their own lives. So, yeah.
Well, he didn't seem to imply, he actually said that, you know, when freedom is possible. If we say we believe that Jesus, when his words were true, then it seems pretty simple. I guess I just would ask people to ask the question, you know, do I believe this or do I not believe it? If you believe when Jesus was talking about, you know, living life and life more abundantly, you know, he basically said, I didn't come to just do this kind of, you know, normal mid kind of range thing. He said life more abundantly. And if you believe it, then I guess you just have to ask, am I living an abundant life? And if you're not, something you're doing is not working. And all we've done is we've asked those questions and followed the path that the Holy Spirit kind of laid out for us. So there's two things, and really just two, that are required for you to do this work, and that is curiosity and courage. You can't let go of those two things at any point, no matter where it leads you, because you have to continue to ask deeper questions of your belief system, deeper questions of God, deeper questions of family, and you have to always be curious about what's going on inside you. You have to say, why is that happening? Why can't I figure that part out? Why I keep doing this thing I don't want to do? You have to continue to ask the questions and follow the trail. Courage, because along that path, you run into things that that are hard, pain, you know, painful, scary, and you have to continue to have courage to work through those things, to continue to process and start to learn about kind of, you know, what we've been talking about in terms of meditation and processing and being able to move that type of energy. You have to have courage. At any point you back off from those two things, then you're gonna fall back into the same place that you were. If you stop asking questions and you just let the fear take over. So my advice is be curious about yourself. And I mean yourself. Don't be curious about your wife or your kids. Be curious about yourself. And be courageous, you know? So that's my advice.
My advice is to be, you know, when David says be curious, be courageous, those are only two things you're required to heal. I would say be kind as well to yourself, because when you start opening yourself up to what is possible when we live in the Spirit, and when we actually start opening ourselves up to what's possible as far as what the pain is that is inside of us, it can be surprising, and it can be quite difficult. It's a different lifestyle. You start down that path, you have to learn to forgive yourself quickly. You have to learn how to be gentle and kind to the parts of yourself that come up that are in a tremendous amount of pain. And it's one of those things where, you know, if there's judgment, if you have any type of judgment or a need to, I pushed myself so hard in the healing process, and I realize now that I look back, I'm grateful that I've healed, but I realize, you know, that I could have been kinder to myself and not required that I punch through that next wall. I think I was desperate in that way. But if I could go back, I would definitely be kinder to myself in that space. You know, give myself an occasional, my wife would say, you need a bubble bath, but I think I'd just be kinder to myself all around once in a while. So.
Yeah, it's very, patience is a really, being patient with yourself is very helpful.
Listening to the Panic Button Podcast. If you want Craig to answer your question on an upcoming episode, please email panicbutton@xxxchurch.com. Or if you're using the Anchor app, please go to your user profile, tap the message button, and hit record, and then hit save, and then send it.